Well, Congress has passed that big, beautiful bill, that massive legislative package that's already sending shockwaves through both parties. Getting it across the finish line took some backroom deals, a little political risk, and plenty of arm twisting. And now the focus shifts to what it means for Republicans and Democrats and voters heading into the next election cycle. Joining us to break down the political fallout and what's next is Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. I guess we're going to find out if this bill is beautiful or not.
Oh, I guess so.
And it's definitely big.
and a lot of people are asking if passing this big, beautiful bill will actually help either party with voters or just hand the other side some fresh ammunition for some attack ads. I mean, who stands to gain from how this plays on the campaign trail?
Well, not to cop out, but, you know, maybe all of the above. The nice thing about doing it this early in the election cycle is we're going to have a year plus in order to see what the actual impact is on people's lives. And so this stuff, you know, will become real or be exposed as just being kind of the typical rhetoric. And I think that's part of the problem is the rhetoric is so overheated. Things that are coming both from the left and the right, I think, distort the impact, the real impact of this legislation. And so I think we got to kind of ignore what both parties are saying and see what happens. I think, you know, here in Michigan, you know, there's a projection of $6 billion in cuts to Medicare over a decade that could affect rural hospitals. And so we'll have to see the impact there. But when you look at these programs, say Medicaid, for example, 93 million Americans are taking Medicaid right now. Now, I don't know that I believe that 27% of the U.S. population is so poor that they rely on Medicaid. And so there is certainly some waste, fraud, and abuse. I think the projected number of Medicaid recipients that will lose coverage is about 11 million. And so whether it's work requirements or people that are manipulating the program in order to get benefits that they aren't entitled to, reality is we still have a $1.9 trillion deficit. We still have a $37 trillion debt. And if we don't start reining in spending across the board, whether it's defense, entitlements or discretionary spending, we've got to find a way to rein this in or we're going to find ourselves in much more trouble. And the people that do rely on Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, VA benefits might find themselves in a worse position if we don't address some of the excesses now.
What do you think the ramifications will be? Like, what's the first thing that might hit the electorate? It's not going to be the Medicaid work requirements because they don't go into effect for a little bit. I mean, could it be, I don't know, the subsidies for EVs? I mean, what's first, do you think?
I think the rural hospitals. I think that's, you know, when you look at Maine, Senator Susan Collins, who was one of only three Republicans in the Senate to vote against the bill, she is also the only senator up for re-election in a state that Kamala Harris won. I mean, Maine is an incredibly blue state. It has been extraordinary that Susan Collins has been able to navigate headwinds, you know, just about every one of her elections. I mean, if you go back over her career, it's like some of the toughest election cycles have been the ones that she's been in, you know, at the end of her 6-year term, and she has survived. And most of the time it's going along with unpopular Republican programs. In this case, she, you know, stood up and voted against what is perceived as an unpopular program. But, you know, I think the reality is it's the context. If a year and a half from now, the economy is booming, inflation is down, gas prices are down, you know, the impact of some of the programs on the social safety net are limited to the people that probably don't need them. You know, in the context of that, Republicans might, you know, have the wind at their backs. I mean, history does not suggest that that Republicans will do well. Just the nature of midterm elections, you know, aren't in our favor right now. But, you know, the context will matter. If things are going well, this might be a speed bump. If not, it could be a disaster for Republicans.
Well, and I think that's why they wanted to get this bill done in the expedited fashion they did, keep it as far away from the midterms as possible so that maybe they can ride that backwind into something positive for them in the midterms. It does seem like a messaging campaign at this point. This is going to be about who can frame this the best. And if Republicans can take the approach of, look, the people that are abusing our social systems like Medicaid are the ones that are going to be booted off, so that you, as a legitimate, hardworking American who might be down on your luck, is going to be able to take advantage of those programs. It's a total messaging campaign at this point.
No, I think you're right. And I think, you know, the problem for Republicans is we've handed rhetorical bludgeons to the Democrats to use, whether people feel the impact or not. Having said that, you know, Lloyd and I might be the only two on this in this conversation old enough to remember when John Engler was elected in 1990. The first thing he did is cut welfare to able-bodied recipients mm-hmm. here in Michigan, and kind of led what was happening with Midwestern reform governors in that era. And I remember, I mean, I was only in my early 20s, but I do remember the rhetoric was just as overheated as it is today about, you know, people are going to die. You're going to have people sleeping under bridges. But what Engler very wisely did in the first year of his 4-year term was push through this controversial change. He weathered the storms, and then he got reelected in a landslide in 1994 because he demonstrated that, you know, the changes that he was making were constructive. It did get people back to work. It did end kind of the excesses of welfare. And you saw governors in Wisconsin and Illinois and Ohio follow his lead in doing that. So I'm reminded of that because it's, you know, one of the times that I can remember in my, you know, 40 years or 35 years of doing this professionally, that, you know, you saw the kinds of radical changes to our social safety net coupled with the very radical rhetoric surrounding it. But the proof was in the pudding, and John Engler went on to be a very successful 3-term governor.
Speaking with Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, you know, when you talk to Republican insiders, they're celebrating this as a win. But for Democrats, I mean, Jason, you see this as a solid, you know, do they see this as a solid achievement, or do you think it exposes the divisions within their ranks that can spill over into the 2026 midterm?
It's clearly both. I mean, you know, there have been some criticism that Republicans are celebrating this bill because the Democrat framing of it is that it is going to hurt people. But I don't think Republicans believe that that's the case, or they wouldn't be celebrating. Mm-hmm. You have to give Trump credit, whether you like him or not. He's been on an extraordinary run in his first 6 months of this term. And just look over the last 2 weeks, whether it is getting ceasefires with Iran, ceasefires with Hamas, the Supreme Court backing him up on the authority of, you know, district judges to put holds on executive branch policies. I mean, it's just one thing after another. That he has prevailed. And so I think he's got a lot of momentum. And even look at the economic indicators, the S&P and the NASDAQ, you know, closed last week at record highs. I mean, we have been told ever since the tariff wars began that this was going to impact our economy in a very negative way and that people were going to see higher prices. They're not seeing higher prices. Gas is at a 4-year low. So whatever the rhetoric is, if you actually look at the data, as of right now, things are going pretty well for Republicans. Yeah. And if that holds and they're able to your point, Chris, you know, prevail on the messaging of what's happening, I think we'll be in a good place. But it is, I mean, the last decade's been the most fluid, volatile I've seen in my life. And I don't think that's going to change between now and the midterms.
Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, thank you for being here, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
More JR Morning coming up.